Hello, everybody, and welcome to the JumpCast, the only podcast you listen to from right to left. I'm your host, Imran Khan. With me this week is Mike Lemieux and Greg John.
Hello, I'm Mike.
And I'm Greg.
If you don't know
and
what
it's pronounced Jan, by the way.
Greg Jan, okay. See, there's that H there. That confused me.
Yeah, I don't actually know what nationality it is, and I'm sure it's one of those things where they decided to Americanize the pronunciation so that they wouldn't get discriminated against or whatever.
Speaking of Americanized pronunciation, this podcast is going to be mostly about Shonen Jump and the weekly releases for the Jump magazine, if the podcast name wasn't any indication.
So more modern stuff.
Yeah,
less.
We're not really going to talk about Dragon Ball so much, even though I'm sure we probably will. But more stuff like Naruto, One Piece, stuff like that. We all have our own kind of favorites here, so we're probably going to lean towards that. If there's something you guys think we should be reading, let us know, and we'll probably look into it. But I think first thing we should talk about is there was a hiatus for Bleach. And I didn't notice because Bleach doesn't move.
Well, you know, like the last few chapters, he ended that arc. Okay,
very
I'm just going to go under the assumption that, I'm going to work under the assumption that people are pretty familiar with what's been going on, but that arc just felt like he got bored one day and just killed everybody, the end.
It felt like a canon filler arc. It was paced in such a way and had absolutely zero impact on the regular story other than, oh, hey, he's got powers again sort of thing, where it just really felt like the sort of thing that they would come up with to waste time in the anime.
The thing I liked was at the end when the actual revelations about like what happened to the Vizars were just like offhandedly mentioned and passed by very quickly.
Were there
it's
any
like, oh,
new
yeah,
characters we... this time or?
Well, what they did was
okay. You know the old spirit detective arc of Yu Yu Hakusho with like Yusuke's like evil the person that did the job before him.
Yeah.
That's this exactly. There was an evil substitute Shinigami before Ichigo.
That actually does sound a lot like an anime filler arc. In fact, I'm pretty sure they've done that.
But what came out of it was they explained how Chad and Orihime's powers work and introduced more people with similar powers.
See, on its face, that doesn't sound so bad because that's how Bleach started out, really, was those kind of smaller story arcs where they focus on one or two characters.
Except in this one, it basically ended up, okay, we're introducing all these new characters and it actually, you know, starts to get some semblance of interesting. And then, what's it called? The big bad or the person you thought was the big bad had, what was it? We called it retcon. His power was retcon.
He was the human retcon.
Where he could actively alter the past of people, not just their memories, like it actually changed the past somehow. To inject himself into it. And then
so,
that
was actually pretty hilarious when he used it, and you had Orihime talking about the adventures they went on to save Rukia with this guy coming along.
Yeah, it was entertaining, and honestly for a little bit there, like he was playing it off in such a way that it came off as mildly creepy, so it was actually pretty effective in that. But then they just kind of decided, okay, and now we're going to heel turn. The Soul Reapers all come back, and the captains are there, and they just line up, pick up enemies, and then the new guys just get beat down, and that's the end of the arc.
Like, oh, yeah, you have no idea, Imran. Like, all these guys that they built up just get raped one chapter after the other. It's all, like, my most powerful attack, and then Kenpachi just smirks and slices the guy in two.
See, I stopped reading Bleach, I think, right before they went into Hueco Mundo.
So that you stopped a long time ago.
Yeah, that was
ago.
About 3 or 4 years ago. And from what I understand, nothing has happened since then.
Meh, there was a time
skip. I wouldn't say nothing's happened, just that you stopped before it descended into self-parody.
Like, I'll read the occasional issue, and the thing is, we were talking earlier about how Bakuman takes, like, 45 minutes to read. Bleach takes 15 seconds, because it's pretty much just splash pages of Ichigo doing an attack, it failing, and then the manga ending.
The attack, which, by the way, is just like the entire panel being painted black.
Yeah.
I think what sticks out to me most with Bleach is that the artwork is actually really good. It's very stylistic. It's very detailed. And it's pleasing to look at, if you will, but because of that, he likes to draw out every single attack. Whereas, you know, One Piece, which I'm sure we're going to get to, the chapters are chock full. There's a whole bunch of animation happening in a bunch of different panels. So it feels like there's some weight to the actual chapter, but Bleach, he likes to draw out every single thing that would end up happening in the anime, every sword clash, every piece of what's going on.
It always feels more like a storyboard than a comic. Like, he's storyboarding out the anime and you're reading it, you know, so you're seeing, like, every little movement. He needs 7 panels to show what someone's foot is doing.
My question is, how does an editor let it get this far? Because Bleach at one point was actually very focused.
Well, it's incredibly popular still. Like,
yeah,
it is insanely
popular. I suspect it's the sort of thing where he's almost able to override his editor because of the sheer popularity of the series. Although it has been dropping off a bit, if I'm not mistaken.
It's still way up there. It's still the top 3. It's just dropping down.
But still, I mean, at some point, someone has to be looking at that and saying, you know, this is not at all like it used to be. Maybe we should bring it back to more of a story-focused kind of thing.
Well, the thing to keep in mind is that, pulling from Bakemon, because they actually mention some of the stuff where, you know, the early chapters where it was very focused and there were the small story arcs and that sort of stuff, and then it did the heel turn and became, you know, just a more general fighting one, was because, you can suspect it's because it was not doing as successfully, so the editor said, okay, we have to change this to appeal to a broader demographic, and it's just kind of become a monster reinforcing itself in that direction.
See, I thought they struck a good balance back in Soul Society, when it was just, there was a bunch of constant fights, but there was a good story supplanting it. From what I understood of Huecomundo, there wasn't really any story there. It was literally people walking from one place to another where a fight would start. It was the final fight of manga.
Well, you know, I think Bleach might also be a victim of over-editorializing, because from what I understand, like, a lot of those captains weren't supposed to show up again, but they were so incredibly popular and the action figures are selling so well that you got to make them permanent characters. You know,
Hitsugaya.
Yeah, bring back Hitsugaya. Everyone likes Hitsugaya.
Because for whatever reason, he gets, like, above Ichigo and some of the characters.
The weird part is, if you go back and read Soul Society, he didn't do anything. Like,
I think he had fight against Gin. Like, he swung his sword at him.
Yeah, and then he finds the council all killed, and that's the end
of
his involvement.
And then gets, you know, stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it.
Which is kind of the problem with, like, TJ loves designing new characters, but he puts so much work into making them so individual that I guess people just kind of latch onto them.
Well, that was the thing. The start of this latest arc was actually really good, I think, when Ichigo, you know, the world didn't seem quite right, and there were these new mysterious people showing up.
And even before the other people started showing up and whatnot, in just like one or two chapters, they added a lot of character to that. There was a new regular human that was introduced to it. That's he has a job now, and it's his boss. And just in like one or two chapters, she has an immense amount of character that is established for her persona, but I mean, she's not necessarily important, but it's just another person to flesh out the world, and he really does have an ability to create these characters to play with, and then just ends up falling back into the same rote scenarios.
He creates such likable people, and then you never see them again.
Puts them on a bus.
Yeah, I like Mizuno, I like Ichigo's high school friends, I'd like to see more of them, but they just kind of fade into the background and go away.
I think that he would benefit from being the artist to another person writing the story.
Mm.
But at this point, he's too popular for that to happen.
Yeah.
Because Bleach had such a great concept, but I feel like...
It had Yu Yu Hakusho's
concept. It had Yu Yu Hakusho's concept, and it did it more seriously.
I really need to get around to watching or reading that at some point.
It's pretty good.
I hope you like tournaments.
So I've heard on both points.
I like how we said at the top that we were going to talk about recent manga, and we're talking about one that's been on break for 3 weeks, and Yu Yu Hakusho.
I mean, Bleach has been one of those things that I've been kind of baffled about. Because you've been talking to me about it for
Yeah,
last
that's your only
years.
Exposure,
yeah.
Is me grappling with it every week.
and the general posts in the platformers thread where we're all mostly making fun of it just because it kind of has gotten to be mildly entertaining just to read from a train wreck perspective.
I mean, I really wanted to like this latest arc, but when it came down to the end, it's like you were just told to feel bad for Ginjo, and they never really tell you why. And then you just briefly get everyone's motivations, and they don't ever seem like very good motivations. One girl, her parents got killed, so she's going to try and kill everyone. That's not that great of a backstory. And that now they're all gone, and it doesn't matter. It just felt like a gigantic waste of time.
Well, even like in the beginning, I guess it made sense that the first arc of Bleach with the story setup and all that moved into Soulsider really well. But this just is a clean cut. Like they're not actually
Yeah.
moving towards something from this.
Well, we haven't seen
Well,
what it's moving toward. Like it's literally last week was kind of it looked like the end of the wrap up, if you will.
yeah, it's like panning over characters, the aftermath of the events that have happened, and the final character kind of offing herself. So,
So we're not seeing a segue into, or we haven't seen what it's segueing into yet.
now I don't know how much we want to get into 2chan rumors, but I did see something this morning of supposedly where the story is going to be going, but total baseless rumors
Go for
is
it.
that some kind of ice palace, and apparently the Arrancar are going to be coming back, including Grimmjow.
Didn't he die?
No, he kind of
Oh.
fucked off, if you remember. Like, he was there during a battle, and then all of a sudden he just stopped being drawn. So.
Yeah, he was there, and didn't Orihime heal him at some point? I don't know.
No, like, Noitora stabs him, but he's still very much alive, and then he's just never mentioned again.
Okay, that happened to a lot of, like, Nell just kind of disappeared. Yeah.
Yeah, she just gone.
And she was like the big
And
important character of that arc.
also the fight against Yami, 200 feet tall, about to crush everyone, just never mentioned again. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Because it always feels like they're foreshadowing towards something, and they never really take it anywhere.
The only real foreshadowing thing that we're still waiting on finding out what's going on is the whole thing with the creating the key to get to what was the name? I mean, it's their equivalent of God, but I
The
don't
Soul
remember what.
King.
Yes, and the other thing that has been hinted at, but we're not sure if it's connected, was if you remember from the flashback to 100 years prior, one of the captains had been promoted to some other role, which we suspect is, some, I don't know, guardian people for the Soul King or something like that. And a lot of people's suspicions is that Ichigo's dad has something to do with that, but it's all pure speculation at this point.
Wasn't there
But
some big evil plot involving the Minos Grande or something? Like, I swear they talked about it that at some point, and it kind of never went anywhere.
well, no, that there was the Aizen's entire thing was to use Karakura Town or whatever the town's name is to create the key to be able to open up the realm of where the Soul King is and take
And
him
to do
out.
that was sacrificing all the lives in Karakura Town and so on.
So typical shonen plot that kind of didn't have any real gravity up until the very end.
Pretty much.
And speaking of which, let's move on to Naruto. So
Oh man.
you have a comparison for this, Mike, about what you think Naruto is turning into.
Oh, the latest one, just him standing inside the giant Kyuubi just totally screams G Gundam to me. He's like piloting a Ninetales Gundam.
While
And I
everyone
think
else
that is.
pilots their spirit animal.
Yeah. I mean, you got Killer Bee
Well,
there,
it doesn't
piloting.
really show any of the other people who are puppets in the first place. And I don't know necessarily know if it's like controlling it so much as,
Merged with
I
it.
don't know. Yeah, being inside of it while it does stuff.
It's kind of amusing how we actually got like the last six chapters have basically been him talking to various other animals. And QB just kind of going, I don't really care. I don't like Naruto anyway. And slowly
Being so
tsundering.
tsundere.
Yeah.
Yes, that is my running joke that I pronounce every chapter is how tsundere
But
there.
it's shockingly
And
accurate.
it's, yeah, it's sadly accurate. Do we know what gender the QB is?
Don't know.
I have not seen them actually address any of them by gender or gender pronouns. So I assume they're genderless. but it you never see any of the other tailed beasts actually with any personality so much as they don't they dislike humans. Except
other
for bees.
Than,
other than Killer Bee.
Yeah. Killer Bee's one. Who's just hilarious.
And so they took QB's one personality trait and just decided, okay, fuck it. He's good now. Which this really should have been one of those kind of like, I don't feel this is a big ultimate event. They did a terrible job setting up this as a final battle kind of thing.
Well, it's not.
But I mean, who else is there after this? There's Sasuke and...
Kabuto.
Kabuto has been kind of in the background for the last 30 or so issues. All he did was, what, talk to Madara. And supposedly he has a big evil plan, but every time someone in Naruto mentions a big evil plan or that technique, which, I mean, it just means they're never going
to
see it.
I still want to know what it was actually supposed to be referencing to after the time jump, because there's been so many things that have happened that might actually have been what he was referring to.
The hidden technique?
The giant Rasengan? That's what I always assumed it was. The Odama... Rasengan.
See, I just kind of came to the conclusion that I think it was giving him the knowledge of how to release the QB, but...
But, I mean, he never really used the knowledge. He kind of just got pissed off around Orochimaru.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the Rasengan, I don't think it's that, because Jiraiya kept telling him it was going to kill him if he tried it. And he just kind of, used that, and it was like, okay, that's done with.
Well, and then, he ended up developing an attack on his own that actually does kill him, so that couldn't be what Jiraiya was talking about.
Yeah, that was post-Jiraiya's death.
Or maybe it's just one of those things that was kind of written in there as potential foreshadowing and then was promptly forgotten about.
Kishimoto does that a lot. Like, he has the same problem Kubo does, that he'll write something and just never follow through on it.
The most hilarious of which is, the entire... Hinata admitting her feelings right to Naruto, and then it's never mentioned again.
Now, the most hilarious of which is Shino being overly interested in the rescue Sasuke part, and they never explain why.
Well, he's a kid. He wanted to go along for the fun.
Well, I mean, it was very clearly they were trying to, pinpoint him being interested as an issue. Or something that, you should pay attention to.
I think it was just that he was the only guy from that period that didn't get to go.
True.
Yeah, I think you're reading into that a bit too much.
I always thought,
Sinister.
Well, when we were back in those couple of years before the time skip, we were all thinking that, that means Shino must be... They're prepping him to fight the fly eating, or whatever, the carnivore guy. The guy who can split apart.
The human fly trap, the guy that we didn't know what his deal was.
And then that never really panned out, because they didn't match anybody against each other like they did in that Rescue Sasuke arc. It just sort of became a... big free-for-all that I don't think has really paid off that well yet.
Yeah, and, those characters have gone on to not do very much, same as kind of Bleach. The Konoha 12 rookies.
Yeah.
All you really ever see is Lee.
And Team 9 fought Asuma for all of one chapter, if that.
Well, they did a lot of that with those the ones brought back, because there's just too many of them. It's kind of hard to...
But I think they were focusing on the wrong ones. Like, the Asuma thing could have been more interesting if they had put more... Because they put more emphasis on the big giant guys with the sacred weapons and the other characters fighting him who I didn't care about.
Well, I think that the reason that they put more emphasis on that is because the entire thing with, the Big Bad's plan is that it has to have... some of the chakra from each of the different tailed beasts, and that revealed that there were other sources of the Nine Tails chakra than the Nine Tails itself. And they had already gotten at least some of the Eight Tails from the trick that Killer Bee pulled. They showed that it absorbs some of it, even if it wasn't all of it. So I suspect that because you can't have the giant, Big Bad's plan not go off and then stop it after it started, kind of the way that Full Metal Alchemist did, because that other source of chakra exists, I'm sure that Madara will start his plan even without having gotten the QB.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Is he actually Madara? Have we figured that out yet? Like,
I think he's the younger brother.
Really?
Hmm?
I still have all my chips on Tobi, or Obito, I mean.
I feel like if it were Obito, something would have come up when Kakashi
no,
came into
it makes
his...
no, It makes no sense. There's no evidence for it, but I am placing all my chips on there. I'm going
all in on
that. Oh,
no, there's evidence for it, and I actually think that this... I personally think that it's one of those things where he was originally going to do that and then decided to go in a different direction with it, but I'm currently in the camp that I think that it's Madara's younger brother.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention that, you know, he's got the eye missing, kind of looked like an old man when he took the mask off. It fits pretty well. That would
and,
make sense.
Like that would, you know, obviously it's not originally Madara because, you know, there's the corpse that's come back to life and that sort of stuff. But then the corpse recognized him and they spoke or whatever it is. And we've already established that with the we haven't firmly established that. But I mean, technically, wouldn't it have been possible for Sasuke and Itachi to just exchange eyes and then they both get the power boost or whatever?
Nothing about the Sasuke and Itachi stuff made sense.
Yeah.
Nothing about the Sharingan makes sense. I mean, every asshole new power that it comes up with just gets kind of...
Which is why it's kind of depressing reading all of these excellent chapters in Naruto right now, because you know that it's going to end on such a down note.
That Naruto is going to be inside the Kyuubi, fire a giant tail beast blast at Sasuke, and he's just going to open one eye and it's going to shoot out blood and knock it away or something.
I think that's actually the reason they gave him this, like, Kyuubi Gundam thing, is because Sasuke has Susanoo now. So he's trying to set up some big fight, probably at the waterfall again.
But we've already established that Sharingan can control the Kyuubi's power, so, you know, it's completely useless, right?
Yeah, I wonder if this is just going to end with all this being sealed whenever he fights Sasuke, making all this pointless.
And then Naruto still wins.
I really just have to say I love the design of Super Saiyan Naruto. You know, the coat with all the lines and...
I'm a little annoyed that they keep upping the ante on his new powers. Like, it does actually feel like Super Saiyan now. Like,
yeah, this is...
I mean, Toad Mode was actually kind of cool. Then he never uses that again and goes into...
There have been a couple times, it's just that they don't purposely point... Like, in fact, they used it, like, just a chapter or two ago. It's just that they don't draw attention to it. You have to look at his eyes.
This chapter.
Well, I mean...
He's doing it at this chapter.
He never puts it as, like, his main thing anymore. Now that he's got this, like, ethereal chakra mode. And I always thought that was a cooler design.
But, I mean...
And they immediately
Goku
just...
Goku never used Kaioken more than a couple times, and...
And then it was just assumed that he was always using it. Like, he never explicitly said it during the Frieza Saga or whatever, but the entire time he was fighting with it 20x or whatever it was.
See, I just liked it more because it was one of those things where he got that mode because of what his dying teacher told him. And then they immediately kind of brush it to the side for, oh, also, here's a much more powerful mode. It just seemed like it was kind of... It thematically closed that off badly. Because nobody really talks about Jiraiya anymore.
Well, that was something I was going to mention when we were talking about who's left to fight. I mean,
oh yeah,
obviously Naruto's going to fight Jiraiya, right? That's going
to
happen.
I figured at some point they're going to break this whatever seal the third put on the fourth Hokage.
I could see that happening too.
Yeah, and then what's it called? It's possible. Actually, I could almost see Naruto having to fight his father and Jiraiya going to the current Hokage.
Really, like zombie Jiraiya.
See, what I'm fearing is that they're going to bring Yondaime back, and then Sasuke is going to beat him because this is Kishimoto, and that's what he loves doing. He loves having Sasuke beat Hokage caliber. Ninjas.
I really do wonder where Sasuke's thing is heading. I mean, is it going to be redemption? Is he going to get killed?
I don't think Kishimoto knows anymore. Like, I think he's just focusing on this war arc for right now, and at some point Sasuke's going to come in and, like, kill a bunch of people.
His whole arc has been weird of, like, I'm going to take revenge on Konoha, and then Itachi tells him, well, they weren't the bad guys. I don't care. I still want to kill him.
Yeah, he believed Toby really, really fast.
And then his brother who was there, he just totally disregards what he says.
Well, you know, it's the, he believed him very, very fast because it allowed him to continue feeling what he wanted to feel.
Legal
confirmation bias. Yeah, confirmation bias.
Though I was
Yeah,
surprised that they gave like a page to the former Hebby of like his two partners
Oh,
just sort of wandering
yeah.
around.
Jugo and Suigetsu just kind of wandering when last we saw they'd gotten arrested.
I think Kishimoto forgot about them and probably one of his assistants reminded him. And he's like, oh
I could
yeah,
see
there's a
that.
page.
The
Well, he's
anime
got a
probably
lot to
caught
keep
up.
track of right now. There's still a lot of people. In fact, actually, that's another thing, is that Itachi still needs to go back and
Well, Itachi's
face
going
Sasuke
after
again.
Kabuto, so
Yeah.
I'm good. But I mean, the famous thing is in Dragon Ball Z, Toriyama totally forgot about Launch. That's why she stops appearing, is because he just forgot about her. It's very hard to keep up these giant cast of characters. And
They should have just kept it like the Konoha 12. Sai was kind of an unnecessary addition. There was a lot of stuff that Kishi, post time skip, I think he dropped the ball on a lot of things.
I think he was trying, like, he really tried with Sai to get him into the group and, like, kind of create this new dynamic, but I get the feeling the fans just kind of rejected it, and he just,
Well, he was kind of a shitty character.
well, yeah, but, I mean, he
I
was
think he was
around for a
supposed I
while,
think it was
so.
supposed to be a parallel foil type character to Sasuke to show that yes, they can be unified sort of thing. I think that it would have worked better if it wasn't also bringing in the new the new captain character at the same time.
Well, the problem is they
Yamato.
try to introduce him as a Sasuke replacement, and then immediately the very first job they do is let's go find Sasuke.
I concur.
So like you're already completely uninvested in this character because maybe they're going to get Sasuke back. It just seems really strange that like, and even Sai, he was pushed to the background right afterwards because he was so unpopular. But Kishimoto keeps trying to plug away at him because that story, little story at the beginning of the war where they showed him and his brother, I think. I don't know if it's biological or just, Anbu brother.
I think they're all orphans, so I think it's more like, they grew up together, brother kind of
Yeah,
thing.
but I mean, I wasn't emotionally invested in that fight at all, even though I'm sure they wanted me to be.
The most hilarious, well, first of all, it's weird that Kabuto brought that guy back, but also Dan, I think, is one of the funniest, that Kabuto would bring a zombie of some random Konoha ninja. Tsunade's old boyfriend.
Yeah. But she didn't even bring back her brother, though, which probably would have had more impact.
Yeah, it's just, I don't even think Dan was supposed to be this particularly good ninja. Didn't they meet in the academy or
Yeah.
something?
And he just backed her up on the medical ninja thing. But I mean, like, why
I mean,
would.
I suppose it's possible that Kabuto is aware of that attachment and whatnot and was hoping that it would be someone to, I don't know, cause mental anguish to expose a weakness or something, but.
Speaking of Kabuto, you know what always bothered me? The fact that they go through this whole thing about ninja info cards and then never mention those again.
I remember the Ninja Info Cards remix song.
That's all I can think of whenever anybody says it.
My Ninja Info Cards.
But it's like they went through some pain to introduce that, and I think they used it for like one thing about how Naruto can't be a threat because he's such has such a low score. But that's such an unnecessary setup.
Well, it was all to create this parallel of Gaara has done like four S rank missions, and Naruto's only done four D rank missions. They couldn't possibly, be on the same level. There's no way. He needed some kind of power level to directly
Maybe it's
compare.
something that they only bother making for, Genin before the Chunin exam or whatever it is.
But it was all
So that's
Kabuto's
why.
own, like, research.
Oh, yeah.
It's endemic of what Kishimoto's problem is.
Well, it's also a manga thing, writing a story week to week, some stuff's gonna just not pan out as you like.
And it was also a terribly convenient plot device to convey a lot of information in a very short period of time.
It's certainly a lot more interesting than Kabuto just saying that, Gaara's this really strong guy. You have actual, a thing to look at that shows you how strong he is.
At this point, I kind of want this war arc to end because
Well,
I'm not really finding it interesting.
I think when this war arc ends, the manga
The
is going to
manga's
end.
gonna end, yeah. No, I'm enjoying it. I've been finding it a very satisfactory climax.
I'm really enjoying these last few chapters of the Tailed Beast fight. I mean, just, I don't know, really interesting.
It's taking too many breaks for Naruto to, like, go inside something and talk to something else.
Well, I think that the assumption is that all that's happening kind of at the speed of thought at that point when he's inside of them.
It is, but
like
when I'm reading the manga, it's still taking X number of pages and panels. Like, I'm waiting for a good fight, but mostly I'm just getting Naruto talking. And this last chapter, to its credit, was are pretty good action-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's ending with, like, the final showdown with the last four tailed beasts, so I'm guessing they're all going to bite it. And
but then I'm guessing fake Madara is going to run away.
Why would he run? He's got what he wants right in front of him.
To prolong this further. I don't know, you guys have more...
Actually, I suspect what's going to end up happening is once he takes the four out, then it's going to cut back to the Hokages versus actual Madara.
Oh yeah, they kind of dropped that, didn't they?
Well, they didn't drop it, they just kind of followed the other plot line for a bit, but I think it's going to, you know, do one of those jumps back, see what happens, and then come back to this. So it's the finale.
See, I don't think Naruto's had a very good action set piece since the Rescue Sasuke arc.
Really? You didn't think that the Pain arc was a good action set piece?
Up until...
Yeah,
it was...
Destroyed Konoha?
The payoff was bad. When, like, oh, I'm just going to wish everything back to life. Dragon Ball.
I agree with that, but the actual, like, sequence of events that occurred in the fight was just... I really enjoyed that start to finish.
As a fan of Naruto, it was really powerful just seeing Konoha just get totally leveled.
But, I mean,
you know,
You have to set up stakes for this sort of thing. And if the stakes don't matter, then it kind of colors the arc badly.
Kishimoto does have a problem with nobody important can ever die. I mean...
Jiraiya.
He killed up Jiraiya and Asuma, but they did a bad job of making me feel like Asuma's important.
They're old guys. I mean, Jiraiya was going to die soon anyway, let's be honest. But any main characters, like Gaara, like, they pretty explicitly say... You know, his soul has been ripped out. He cannot be revived. Oh, wait, yes, he can. He's totally fine, and he still has all his powers for some reason.
And then Chiyo dies, bringing him back to life, and no one cares.
Because
she's
it's
old.
Chiyo.
Yeah. But it seems like that every time somebody dies, they bring them back to life. It soured me a bit on the post-time skip Naruto.
Jiraiya dying.
I guess it doesn't bother me as much because a lot of books that I read and that sort of stuff, there's the whole death is cheap motif.
You know what else doesn't kill people is One Piece. Huh?
Which is true. One Piece has not killed many people.
People can be holding a nuclear bomb and they will walk away from that fine.
What are you talking about? Ace is dead.
Spoilers.
I get the feeling they'll bring Ace back somehow. I still haven't figured out how.
My girlfriend is hung up on the fact that Shanks took Ace's body, that, like, something's going on there. I never read anything sinister into that, but she is obsessed with it. Because, remember, at the end of the war, Shanks took Whitebeard and Ace's bodies to do something with, and they never go in, like, presumably to bury them.
I thought they showed the graves for both of them, and I think the assumption is they got buried.
Well, that's the assumption, but, you know.
I mean, this is also a fiction where... people are brought back as zombies pretty much constantly.
Well, they're brought back as zombies thanks to Moria, period.
Yes. And Moria's not dead of any sort.
Well, we don't know that. His fate is up in the air.
He was in a government meeting. It wasn't pre-time skip, but... Or it was pre-time skip.
Doflamingo attacked him.
Yeah, they set him after him, and he said that, like, he disappeared or something like that, and it was never said for sure whether he was killed or not.
I'm pretty sure you see, like, a newspaper headline that just says, like, you know, Seven Warlord Moria, you know, missing.
Oda's too good a writer to just kind of leave it like that, I think.
Well, considering Doflamingo's puppet abilities, I'm sure Moria, you know, will have a puppeteer puppeting someone that can puppet people.
Yeah, they're really raising the... speaking of raising the stakes, One Piece does that pretty well. In that, if you ask, like, how Luffy's going to get a more dangerous enemy, they always tend to... That's what bothered me about this past arc, is that Hody did not seem that dangerous.
They were never a threat. Like,
well, yeah, no, but I think that it was to provide that catharsis after. I mean, how many arcs in a row did the Straw Hats basically lose? You know what I mean?
Also, the thing that I realized with this chapter is how much of a parallel to the beginning of the series it's been. If you'll remember, the first few enemies that Luffy fought before going to the Grand Line were no threat at all.
Yeah, but that was when he was still gathering crewmates.
Right, but this is the parallel of, you know, they're still in the old place where they're way too powerful, and now they've actually headed into the, you know, second half of the Grand Line where they're going to be outclassed again.
Obviously, Hody is going to start coming back the same way that
Arlong?
Buggy did, right?
Buggy.
I don't know. He's an old man now and in jail, so I can't see him being too mobile.
Wait, did he not escape Impel Down?
Who?
No, not Buggy. Hody is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Buggy is presumably a, like, am I remembering wrong? Or wasn't, like, something happened
with
him?
It was never explicitly stated. The government contacted him, and so the assumption is that he's one of the warlords now.
I couldn't remember if that was, like, a fake spoiler or something that actually happened.
He got a letter from the government. That's all we know.
I'm getting a little annoyed at how they keep going back and forth on Jinbei joining the crew.
Well, I think the stance now is he will join, you know, once
after they beat up Big Mom.
Yeah.
Because they've basically been teasing it for like 3 years now.
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of bored of Jinbei already. I want to see a new person join. Like, I'm already kind of sick of him. So
nah,
when he actually
like
joins,
he's a good character. I think that there could be some good interaction between him and the other members of the crew.
Yeah, it was funny to see him be a little silly a couple times during the Fishman arc, because he's such a serious character before that.
I do wonder if Jinbei and Sanji taking on a giant enemy is probably foreshadowing for the fact that Blackbeard now has a giant crewmate.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's pretty obvious that at some point this is going to go down to a confrontation with Blackbeard.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering who's going to fight who.
Doctor
I don't think
doctor.
That I doubt that they would end up having 2-on-1 with a thing, though. If it's going to be the final climax, everybody's going to have their own fight.
I do think it'll be the final climax, though. I think they'll probably just kind of throw it in somewhere between islands.
The thing Oda seems to like to do is to take your expectations of the matchups and just totally throw them out the window.
Yeah.
And like, even several times during an arc, people will switch partners and start fighting somebody else.
Water 7's a good example of that. When he thought Nami was supposed to fight the Bubble Girl.
Yeah, Khalifa, and then Sanji falls out of the roof and fights her.
Yeah.
Well, but they eventually switched it up to have that appropriate matchup.
In that case, but a lot of times, you know, you have what seems like the perfect match and those characters just never end up meeting.
And that was what was weird about this arc, too, is that there was maybe two villains, and one of them gets knocked out pretty much immediately as the fight starts. And the other one Luffy just struggles with because he's underwater.
Did Vanderdecken ever really fight anybody?
No, I mean, he just rode things.
Yeah,
yeah,
he threw the boat.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It was literally One Piece Musou.
Yeah, I was really expecting, like, as soon as Vanderdecken's power was revealed, I was thinking, like, oh man, how's Luffy gonna, you know, outsmart that and beat him? But it just never really came up.
And I mean, it was a kind of bad fight in general, because most of it was just, it was chapters of Luffy wondering, how do I stop Hody and stop this ship?
Is it just me, or were you confused that Hody was actually beaten when he was beaten? Because, like, he just got punched once and then stopped showing up, and at some point you see him in jail.
Yeah. I thought he would escape
or
something.
The way that the thing was drawn showed, like, his arm going through the body, so I kind of assumed that he was done after that.
Yeah, but he was taking drugs, you know.
I mean, the bigger villain of that was the ship. But
yeah, Noah.
I mean, they foreshadowed a little bit of what Noah, like, the whole point of that ship. But I think they should have given more information, because otherwise you don't really get the big deal.
Well, the big deal is that it's half of the ancient weapon, and the princess is the other half. Which, you know, fan theory stuff. Pluton, the first ancient weapon that was mentioned was supposed to be an Alabasta, but it wasn't there, and Franky had plans for a ship. But what Alabasta has in common with Fishman Island is they both have princesses.
Who are friends of the Straw Hats.
Yes, the popular theory is that Vivi is part of Pluton.
Well, they do keep Vivi on a lot of covers these days.
Yeah, and I also like the entire point with the Poseidon being water, have Pluton be land. I guess it's in the middle of the desert and whatnot. And then the ship, which NL found on the moon, is air. And then there's going to be some connection to bring him back to. And that's the third ancient weapon. And those are the three to control land, sea, and air.
I do wonder if Oda's going to start ratcheting up this overall story arc. Because mostly One Piece has been about getting to the end of the Grand Line. If they're putting an actual, like they've been mentioning back and forth the government stuff, the dragon stuff, things like that, but they've not actually made it a main focus of the story. If it's like, if this is kind of getting to, with One Piece, it's hard to say end game, but I guess second half of the game.
Yeah, it's middle game.
I think it'll matter more once they get closer to Raftel.
Yeah, I mean, the popular fan theory is that Raftel is, like, the last bastion of the old civilization. Like, that somehow that survived the blank century, and that's where all the secrets lie.
I just kind of want him to get more focused.
Yeah.
I mean, I like adventure-y One Piece, but he's kind of riding a line right now. Overall story arc, and because the Shabari Archipelago stuff was interesting, but then they kind of didn't take it anywhere, and it just immediately went to Ace after that.
What about it wasn't taken anywhere? Just the entire fact that there was, you know, the nobles and
The pacifistas and the samurai guy, and they were talking about bigger plans. That kind of like, why did Kuma send them on different islands?
Well, obviously, you know, we find out that Kuma was just trying to keep them safe. I mean, that's why they killed him. You know, he's a total robot now.
But, I mean, we never actually find, like, Kuma's reasoning for why he's doing that.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's going to... I mean, they're obviously going to run into Vegapunk at some point, and I think that that's when that's finally going to be revealed. And then, of course, you know, Kuma is going to become the last member of the Straw Hat crew because of the entire number thing, right?
I think Oda... is the last person you want to assume isn't taking something somewhere, because everything comes back around in One Piece.
It does, but I just wonder how much of
it's kind
of
like, okay, so why do all of the whales in this week's chapter have the scars on their face? Are they trying to get to Laboon through the red line? You know, are they ramming their heads too?
It's, speaking of which, this chapter, like on the first read, I didn't realize how much it paralleled their entrance into the Grand Line. Of riding the current, if you remember when they actually entered the Grand Line going down the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, but I think that I think that it was more as much a plot device foe, so they surface in a different place so you don't have the immediate confrontation with Smoker.
But I mean, if you think about like the parallels, when they enter the Grand Line, they're coming down a mountain into it, you know, riding a current down a mountain into the ocean, and this one they're riding a current up from under the ocean, you know, to the surface. Just, you know, strange parallels.
Stopped by whales both times.
Smoker is another good example of something that, like, shows up occasionally, but Oda hasn't really focused on at all.
Well,
Smoker is Luffy's garp.
Yes, it's the running joke of every time they meet, Smoker is happy they're finally going to fight, and Luffy just runs away.
But I mean, like, also his second-in-command, the girl with the sword. She has an issue with Hashigi. Zoro that they've never really focused on.
Oh, she just weirdly looks like Zoro's friend. I don't think there's much more to it than that.
I thought at one point that she really wanted to kill him.
Well, she's mad that he is, like, she wants to take his sword so that it's not used for bad things.
Ah.
Yeah, she's a sword geek.
But
And she hates... There's, like, a certain number of named swords that were, like she mentions the number back in, Loge Town or Rogue Town or whatever.
Log Town.
And she mentions that her dream, because obviously everybody has to have a dream in One Piece, right, is to collect all of those swords so that bad people can't tarnish them by using them, sort of thing. So she's mad at him because he has now, I guess, three of those swords and is using them for piracy.
I do wonder if they're ever going to get into what happened during the 2 years. Or they're
I'm sure we're just going to keep getting info drops as needed. I mean, they kind of hinted at some stuff already. And I mean, we have the cover thing going on right now. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, it's not just the Frankie's two friends. It shows that Lola made it back to Water 7 because they're the people sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, stuff like Frankie's 2 years are probably pretty interesting and probably story important. I'm just curious if it's going to be a slow drip or at some point he's just going to take it some time off and actually, like, show what happened with. I'm particularly interested in Robbins, too.
We might get a cover story arc that's actually the Straw Hats kind of,
Nah, I
stories of
don't think
two
that they'll
years
jump
ago.
back to it with a cover story arc.
Honestly, I think it was just left empty for anime filler potential.
That's what I thought too, but they never actually really did anything with it. They gave an episode or two.
Yeah, they took it a little bit further. At like once they finished, like there was the first round, which covered pretty much most of what was done in the cover arcs, and then they did take it a little bit further later on, but they never really explicitly say a lot of the stuff.
And I too, some of it has to be story important because there is no way that Dragon's lieutenant or whatever that guy in the hat is not the kid that Ace and Luffy played with.
Yeah, there's some support for that.
Yeah,
I
there's
always.
that, and I mean, I'm sure that whatever happened between Zoro and Mihawk will come back at some point, probably when
Yeah, because there's no reason
they
for
face
Perona to
Mihawk
be
again.
there if not for some actual story reason.
You think?
I mean, what really benefit to the story does she have if not for. Because if Zoro just trying to
So
learn.
Zoro has a way to get back to the island without it being Mihawk bringing him there himself?
What was the way that she provided?
Wrote a ghost. I don't know.
See, I always thought it would be funny if Zoro tried to get back immediately and it just took him 2 years to get there.
Yeah, that's what I always just assumed, is that he only trained for like a month and then started heading back and just arrived a week ahead of everybody else.
Seems like a reasonable proposition.
So I don't know about you guys, but I'm really excited now that they're actually in the second half of the Grand Line. Like the possibilities of the cool islands and the new people to meet.
See, I think that this is going to be. I'm not entirely sure what to expect because I didn't actually start reading on a regular basis until it was the end of NAS Lobby. So, my first experience with anticipation for the next island ended up being Thriller Bark, which I think was a little bit of a letdown to everybody, mostly because of what it immediately followed. So you just kind of write that off. And then after that, you had the constant story plot important sections leading up to the Whitebeard War. And now this is going to be my first experience actually reading on a chapter by chapter basis for random places that they end up going. And so I'm not entirely sure what to expect or whether I'd like to stop reading for a bit and then just read it all in one shot or what.
See, I wonder if it's going to end up being like actually random places they end up going, or it's going to be they think they're going random places and it's actually really story important.
The
Well, I think that what's going to end up happening next is that because Nami will tell Luffy that she's going to the most dangerous place because that's what he's going to insist about, but they're actually going to the safest place, and it happens to be where Big Mom is right now.
yeah, there's going to be some twist. I mean, it's weird that the log pose kind of faded into not being that useful because they just kept getting like permanent log poses to point them to places they wanted to go. And then now they've reintroduced like a very specific new way of traveling to islands.
I'll be honest, I totally forgot about the log pose until this past chapter.
Yeah, because like every time they were going someplace, they were told to go there and someone just handed them a permanent arrow towards it.
Yeah.
Well, not every time. When they left Alabasta to get or what whatever to get to Skypiea, that was following it, and then they followed it to the Ring Island from there, and then it was just that they kind of knew that the next one in line after there was Water 7. Then they took the train to Enies Lobby, but then yeah, like it's not like they haven't been using the log pose. It's just that because there's other people traveling around not using them, and they happen to know what the next step is in the chain, it wasn't as
It wasn't
astonishing.
prominent, yeah.
Yes.
See, one of the reasons I ended up liking or disliking this past arc was that it was more about the island than it was about the Straw Hats. And I mean, that sort of fixed itself at the very end with the revelation that, you know, there were the ancient weapons there. But that's the same reason I dislike Skypiea, is I don't want interludes about the history of the place. I just want to see Luffy punch people.
Well, I mean, let's see, if it follows the same parallels with the beginning of the story, where are they heading now? They'd be heading towards their, what was the first
Whiskey
place?
Whiskey Peak was the first stop.
Yeah, and that set off the whole Baroque Works storyline.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if we're going to be heading towards some kind of big storyline, like multiple island spanning ones, because we haven't had one of those in a while.
I think they need to introduce, like, Luffy needs to confront a really good villain now. Maybe it's Big Mama, maybe it's the guy who killed Ace, whose name I've forgotten.
Blackbeard?
Akainu?
Or no, Akainu.
Yeah.
Like, or, well, he's not actually called that anymore, because that was just his admiral name, so...
Yeah, I don't remember what his actual name is, but he took Sengoku's old job, so...
Wait, I thought he was the one who lost the job in Aokiji.
No, Ice Guy is the one who has left the Marines now, and we don't know what he's doing, and Lava is the one that's the admiral now.
Ah.
And Lightning Guy is still an admiral, just admiraling it up.
Yes.
Well, at some point, Luffy needs to confront someone powerful again. Because that was one of the major issues with Hody.
Yeah, I want to see him take on someone that appeared in the war, so you have a good before and after judgment for... Because, you know, maybe Luffy would have beat the crap out of Hody before the time skip. I mean...
So what you're saying is it might be interesting to see one of the, like, allied captains who were part of Whitebeard's side, and then they get into a fight for some reason, and then it shows that he's able to beat one of the captains that was under Whitebeard, or something like that.
Aokiji would make sense, considering he was the first person to really kick Luffy's ass.
Yeah, I mean...
See, I'm of the personal opinion that he's going to end up joining the Revolutionary Army.
Simply because he's not in the Marines?
Because he doesn't like the it was basically because of the direction that I'm the subtext that I got was that he didn't like the direction that the world government was going in that aspect, and of all of the various camps that there are, I can't see him becoming a pirate, you know, so that would be the other camp that I could see him falling into.
That could be the next big arc that we're seeing, is taking on this new regime that seems to be a lot more brutal than Sengoku's.
Did Crocodile end up escaping after Impel Down?
I think
yes.
Everyone did, didn't they?
Like, yeah.
So I assume he's going to show up in the New World somewhere.
Yep, and that's when we're going to find out he was originally a woman.
Totally.
I forget, where did that joke start?
What's it
Ivankov,
called? Ivankov knows something about him.
Yeah, says he has a secret, and her power is changing genders, so people just assume that those were connected somehow.
And it was something that Crocodile definitely did not want revealed.
It would be hilarious.
Yes, it would.
So speaking of hilarity, I guess we'll move on to Bakuman. Which, okay, so is it me, or is this arc about why Death Note wasn't good?
Yeah, this seemed to be just like, you know, okay, we're tired of people complaining about it continuing past Light and L. Here's why that happened.
Well,
that was
brought up in the thread, but then I went and checked the dates that the anime started and the manga finished, and the manga actually finished, like, completed earlier in the year before the anime even started coming out. Now, I realize that there is a, you know, life cycle to the process of making the anime in the first place, but the dates just don't line up for, you know, oh, we need the anime to start, and then you need to drag out the manga to go past when the anime finishes. That just doesn't match up.
There may have just been similar pressure of you can't end this so fast because nobody's going to want to make a, you know, expensive 26 episode Shonen Jump anime. You know, you got to drag it out some.
Yeah, because Reverse A could not be any more clearly Death Note.
I'm still waiting for them to make Bakuman though.
Do you think that's where this is heading? That
Oh,
that's their.
I think that it's going to end up that like it's ended. It's not going to show the series being made, but I think that the final book note is they're going to be trying to think of what their next thing's going to be, and maybe why don't we make a manga about the entire process that we've gone through, you know?
Yeah, I could see it heading that way.
Supposedly, there's a
I'm.
manga out now called like Even a Monkey Could Draw Manga or something like that.
Oh, that's a series in Japan. Even a monkey could blank.
But it's supposed to be very good, like better than Bakuman at showing how a dual manga team works. So I'm curious to try that out. But I had to power through basically all 20 chapters last night that I was are backlogged on, and the whole Nanami, whatever his name was, Nanamine arc, kind of went nowhere again.
Yeah, he really.
Like every single time, it's he rises up, he gets smacked down by Ashiragamoto, and then he goes back down. So I assume they're going to
Yeah.
bring him back again.
Nah, I don't see that happening, mostly because it seems like they're pushing in the direction of. I doubt that it's going to be the final arc, but it seems to be drawing in a lot of the dangling plot lines at the
See,
moment.
I don't see that where a lot of people seem to think that Bakuman is wrapping up. I just because they're going to get an anime, I don't think that's going to be the end of the series.
Hiramaru isn't lonely and it's upset anymore. And that's the only
Right, but
plot thread I
there's
can
still
think
hilarity to come from him being in married life.
That was the best little mini arc.
That was a good arc. It was a welcome break from basically all Bakuman is these days, which is let's think of an idea, now let's wait for results.
I thought that arc was pretty funny because I thought it paralleled the do you guys know that the creator of Yu Yu Hakusho married the creator of Sailor Moon? Like they're married.
I think I had heard that actually.
I'd always
And
assume that.
doesn't he not do anything anymore and she's the one who does the work or something like that?
Yeah, he's sick all the time and phones in the drawings on the map. Well, not lately, but you know, it used to be like 6 months between chapters.
What was his our most recent manga?
Hunter X Hunter,
All right.
or Hunter Hunter, I think is how it's said
Which
aloud.
is still going, right?
Yeah, it's they're having elections right now.
Yeah, I haven't read that one. I've got my one series that I follow, which has, months and months between chapters, and I think that one's enough of those.
Yeah, I can't follow too many monthly manga because I just forget.
I used
Like
to
if it's not.
follow High School of the Dead, but it went from monthly to not at all.
That'll be a problem.
The only monthly one that I really followed was Full Metal Alchemist, which was easy enough to follow because it was always a huge deal when it came out.
Yes, you'd see people talking about it, but there's not too many that I can follow just on my own that.
Yeah, the only other ones that I follow outside of Shonen Jump right now are Berserk, which is, it's been September since the last chapter came out, but I do know that there's one coming out this week, so. But that's mostly because I was looking into news because there's a new movie coming out next week, the first of the three movies which is coming out this year, having to do with Berserk, and so I was looking to see if there was any information about the potential for, an international release the way that sometimes they do with larger movies like that. Couldn't find anything, but I did see that there's a new chapter coming out this week, and
Yeah,
then Gantz, which is weird. I'm
crazy,
not,
yes.
yeah.
I don't want to get into the manga that I follow outside of Shonen Jump because it's just all going to be relationship girly mangas.
Your shoujo mangas.
Yes. What?
I've heard something good about something called Seven Seeds in terms of shoujo manga.
I haven't read it. I read more of like the shonen shoujo manga, like not, the well-drawn shoujo manga.
Yeah, I got nothing in that genre, so.
They're a guilty pleasure. It's like trashy romance novels.
Though, I mean, like, I guess Gyas kind of counts as shoujo, sort of.
Does it?
Or Shonen Jojo, I suppose.
Which one?
Code Geass.
Nah, I'd
Oh.
call that. No.
I
That's
don't know.
Shonen.
It's Clamp. It's
It's
getting
Clamp
there for.
Designs and tends to focus more on human drama.
Well, but I mean, it's not like X is shoujo either, and that's Clamp Designs. That was a weird series.
Speaking of which, did it not seem to you guys when they were first pitching Reversi and Bakuman that it was Code Geass?
Yeah, controlling people and that whole thing.
Yeah. Like, it was
Kind of
kind
a.
of Death Note, kind of Geass. But I'm a little disappointed they've not shown any, like, they've completely brushed PCP to the side.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly that's still going, right?
Yeah, like, they.
Yeah,
That got
but on a
turned.
monthly basis, so I guess it's not, that there's not as much change going on with it. I don't know. It's an established series. They've kind of already had a whole bunch of talking about specific arcs that happen in PCP, and right now the entire focus is let's get an anime, which that's not going to do anything with. So I'm sure that if there's something interesting going on with it, or if they have to figure out how to wrap up the series or something like that, then they'll go back to it. But
I always thought it was super bizarre, this idea that PCP could not get an anime when it was, a show about elementary schoolers playing pranks. Doesn't that seem like.
see, it seemed like it was their Hikaru no Go equivalent, but Hikaru no Go got an anime.
Right. I mean, it just seemed like such a bizarre kind of stretch that
Yeah, what was the
everybody would.
rationale behind that? They didn't want kids imitating it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like someone robbed a bank or something and left a note, like, saying that they were copying the manga. And so they got all scared away from
No, that was
kind of.
after. It was just that
I
they
think.
couldn't find a good time slot, probably. Is I think what their rationale then was.
Right.
And also they didn't want kids emulating it, but the someone robbing the bank was actually
That's right,
what
that
shook
shook
him
up
up,
talk.
yeah.
Yeah, it shook up Takagi and.
See, that's what's getting a little bit boring about Bakuman now is whenever they have these existential crises or crises about what they're going to do, they always get over it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's always just hot blood manga. F yeah,
Doing it
we're
for our
best friend.
rivals.
We're best friends. We can do anything if we set our mind to it. It's still probably.
I enjoy these for what they are. I'm kind of the opinion that, well, that's kind of the point of this series, isn't it?
Well, after
So
about
yeah.
4 years, it's getting a little repetitive.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still one of my. I would say it's under One Piece is probably my favorite Jump manga. I just really enjoy the inside baseball aspect of it, and
Well, yeah, especially because once you are aware of some of the parallels to specific editors or writers or something like that, that like the what's his name? Their current editor
yeah,
for
Hattori is
Reversi
basically.
is the combination. He's made to look like one editor and act like the editor of One Piece, for
Yeah.
example.
Which they should have made him look like the actual editor of One Piece, because that guy looks crazy. It's like Jean-Baptiste something.
Aren't most of the like major editors just amalgamations of real Shonen Jump editors, is what I've
Yep.
heard. Like their names are like anagrams and personalities and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was a chart showing who's who a while back. I don't remember exactly who it is, but
See,
I mean.
I think Shonen Jump kind of exercises editorial control over Bakuman because everything Shonen Jump does is right in that manga. Like, the editors are
That's a good
always
point. I didn't
correct.
think about that.
Well, the funniest part about that world is that any manga that anyone reads is somehow owned by what's their name? The company that owns Shonen Jump.
Shueisha or something.
Yeah, like every manga that anyone ever reads is published by them. Like nobody ever talks about Shonen Sunday or anything like that.
They've talked
Well, of
about
course
Shonen
not.
Gangan once or twice. Mostly in a, oh, I don't want to go publish over there sort of way.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if Coke made a comic book and everyone's just always drinking Coca-Cola products.
I'm sure they've done that, actually.
It's like Code Geass getting sponsored by Pizza Hut, so every episode had to have either a box of Pizza Hut in it or the little green stuffed animal in Code Geass is
Oh,
the mascot for Pizza Hut in Japan. So
yeah,
every
cheese
episode had to
song or
have
something.
either them eating Pizza Hut pizza or that stuffed animal. And towards the end of the series, because they didn't want to bother trying to figure out how to get Pizza Hut into it, that's why that thing got put into the credits at the beginning.
It does always kind of amaze me that Shonen Jump stuff does not have more product placement. Because you'd think they'd sell that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you hear stuff mentioned by name, like, I don't know, it's so offhanded, it doesn't feel like product placement.
Like, I noticed they had an iPhone in Bakuman.
Right,
But,
but
like,
that's
it
like.
was legally distinct from a regular iPhone.
Yeah, and, someone like that would just have an iPhone.
Yeah. But still, kind of wish Bakemon would shake things up a little bit. Because
well, if we can.
all their attempts for villains recently, it's either some guy they really like that they're trying to get better at because he's talented, or some guy they dislike who's doing manga a weird way.
Well, that's why I'm excited about this current arc, is because Edgy seems to, like, actually be targeting them now. Like, it was always kind of, he was just better, but he was doing his own thing, and now he's taking pot shots at him. Like, by doing the manga or the anime. Yeah.
Stealing proposal. Their time slot.
Yeah, like, he's going after them.
But, I mean, so. You know, the reveal is going to be that he's only going after them to make them do better.
Not necessarily.
Like, now it seems like he's just legitimately thinks of them as, you know, like, he just wants to beat them. He's not trying to help them anymore.
Yeah, he wants to be better.
He seemed actively angry that they beat him out in the anime time slot.
Though it amused, like, a couple of issues ago, they had that reader poll of what manga would you actually like to see. And I was not at all surprised to see Panty Flash Fighter in the top 10.
Yeah, I'd read it. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Didn't they actually come out with, like, a single episode of Otter 11 back in the day, because that one ended up getting silly high in one of those polls?
Yeah, I think they did a one-shot of Otter 11. I think I remember reading it.
See, that was probably one I would choose, but Crow is definitely up there, too.
I think Zombie Gun looks pretty interesting. I like the style.
I feel like I don't know enough about the supposed plot line of most of them to be able to accurately say which would be most interesting.
So I suppose that, like, the Team Fukuhara ones are generally the ones people are going to pick anyway, which is, amused me why Panty Flash was just sort of there. It was, like, the only one that wasn't among the regular group.
So it's like the overwhelming force of panties is overpowering the odds stacked against it.
Japan. Never change.
So there's one more manga I want to talk about, and I know neither of you guys read it, but Beelzebub?
I keep meaning to read it, because the art people post looks interesting.
And everybody keeps talking about it and saying that it's really good, and it's one of those things that I need to get around to reading, but...
Well, it's amazing in the way that it's a kind of a standard by-the-books fighting manga, but everything it does flies in the face of what you would expect.
Like,
well, just they'll set up villains and defeat them on the same page. You know, it's mostly a gag manga. Like, fights never last more than one or two chapters. And the main appeal is, like, it has a really good cast of supporting characters. Pretty much, I'm trying to think, hardly anybody that has been a villain or even introduced has not shown up again. Like, the cast just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's pretty huge now.
But if they never show up again, then it's not really an issue that it gets so huge, because they're not really part of the cast anymore.
Well, that's what I mean, is they do keep showing up. Like, this goes from a solo guy to now he's got a group of about a dozen people that are constantly around him.
So it sounds like Bleach, but done well.
Yeah, I guess I can tell you guys the basic premise is you have Oga and Furuichi, and Furuichi is the normal person, and he's the sidekick. And Oga is the badass, strongest person in school, you know, delinquent.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds a baby in a river that turns out to be the son of the devil. And by finding him, he unwittingly enacts a contract that he has to raise this child to adulthood. And throughout the manga, you know, being in contact with the child grants him demon powers, and that's where the fighting aspect eventually comes in. But the stakes just raise so stupidly fast that, you know, he goes from fighting everyday street punks to fighting demons in under 100 chapters. It just ramps itself up so fast.
It sounds interesting.
But yeah, the question with how quickly it's ramping is, where is it going to end up going then?
Well, yeah, right now, like, it's implied that they've beaten some of the strongest people in hell. And, you know, you kind of don't know what's going on. Right now in the manga, a character has amnesia. And they're playing that for hilarity for, like, the last five chapters. So that's been pretty good.
Do either of you guys read Toriko?
I read it every now and then.
Is it any good? Because people have been like saying, oh, it's the new Pillar of Jump.
Well, it actually is. It's super stupidly popular, and
What's the premise of that one again? I had read up on it and I seem to think that
it's
it
a
sounded
fighting
odd.
manga where all the fighters are cooks, and all the enemies are animals that they're trying to kill for like ingredients for dishes.
Huh.
So they're like killing a giant tiger so they can make like tiger steak or something. It's,
That sounds like
but
something worth
everyone's,
looking into, at least.
yeah.
That sounds kind of like yakitake or whatever it is, which all I know that that's a thing that existed that was about trying to make the perfect bread.
Oh, I read all of that. That was amazing. This is more just, it's like a jumping off point, but all the chefs are like 6 feet tall, super burly dudes with scars all over their faces, you know, or eye patches, and it's really not what you'd imagine the chefs to look like. It's kind of just a baseline premise for a goofy fighting manga.
All right, well, on that note, I guess we'll wrap things up for this week. I hope you
Yeah.
guys have enjoyed listening to us. If you want to subscribe, I think we're at this point we'll be on iTunes. If not, you can check it out on nitrobeer.com. We'll be back next week. Hopefully this will be a Thursday mainstay. But if not, we'll let you know about when it's actually going to switch to. If you have anything you want to recommend us talking about, just drop a line in the comments or email us directly from the Nitro Beard site. Mike, Greg, it was nice having you guys here.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice to be in here.
And I'll see everybody next week.